Senator, thanks for being with us, first of all.
Great to be with you.
So do you support the governor's call for a special session?
It's unfortunate that the governor had to do this, but I do support it. The work of the General Assembly was incomplete, and for us to have left Springfield and forced the governor to bring us back, to me, is a shame. It would have been much better if the Speaker of the House, particularly the Speaker of the House, the President of the Senate, would have called us back. The House, the Senate could at least claim it passed a budget, even though I don't think it was realistic. But it did pass when the House failed to make any progress. And to leave without a budget, I thought, was irresponsible. After we adjourned, we Senate Republicans sat down with the governor's office and the House Republicans and explained to them how close we actually came before Senator Colton chose to pass his own budget, and shared with them. And we came up with what we think is a compromise called the Capitol Compromise, which was introduced last week, and the premise under which the governor is calling a special session so that Illinois would have a meaningful budget, our schools can open, and our social service agencies can operate.
Talk about that proposal. What do you see as its main points?
Well, it is balanced. It provides the incentives and the reforms that will help create jobs, which will further stabilize our economy and our fiscal condition. It has a statewide spending cap. And where there are temporary revenues being asked of the taxpayers, there are also a four-year property tax freeze, providing the taxpayers with relief at the local level. And in the state that's got the highest property tax burden of any state in the nation, much needed.
Of course, taxes are as unpopular as ever, and I've heard a lot of people complain about the idea of raising them again here. Do you think that this budget situation could be resolved without a tax increase, or is that just part of what's necessary here?
Given the fact that there's a supermajority control in the Illinois Senate, a majority control in the Illinois House by Democrats, I think it'd be very difficult. And given the fact that we've got billions and billions of dollars of unpaid bills, it would be very difficult to develop a financial plan that didn't provide some infusion of temporary resources.
When it comes to the special session, and as we near the end of the fiscal year, and a lot of people wondering, are we going to start yet another fiscal year without a budget? Are you optimistic that a deal could be worked out here over the next week or so? Because I guess I would have to say, as an observer, there hasn't been a lot of reason to be optimistic in the last many months.
I can certainly understand people's concern, but I will tell you that since the beginning of the year, and even a little before, when the Senate Democrats began working with the Senate Republicans to come up with a Senate plan, there's a lot of progress that has been made, a lot of give and take, a lot of compromise on both parts. The governor now is saying he's bought onto a plan that he thinks is fair to the taxpayers and he can support. House Republicans have. It seems to me that there's just one area that's yet to come on board, and that is the House Democrats.
Well, I know you've been working over the last many months on a budget plan. In fact, what was known as the grand bargain had been discussed at one point in the Senate. A lot of people, I know, blame the governor for that not having been approved. They say, you know, the deal was being worked on, and the governor stopped the effort. They say he wasn't getting enough of what he wanted. Your response to that?
Well, it was the Senate Republicans that put the stop on the plan. We told Senator Colleton, and I did personally, that we needed a balanced budget, we needed a spending cap, we needed parity with property tax relief in terms of the term that temporary income taxes were asked for. So if they were going to ask for temporary income tax for 4 years, we needed a four-year freeze on property taxes. And we needed the business reforms, because if we learned anything by the failed Quinn tax increase, temporary, it was that it didn't have a comprehensive plan. Under this plan, the spending cap will hold spending in line with what will eventually be revenues without the income tax temporary. The property tax freeze will help foster and spur economic development, protecting the taxpayers as well. And the job reforms will grow businesses and therefore revenues. So this trajectory has a long-term solution, not just an immediate help. And so this was negotiated by my Senate Republican colleagues, by and large. Of course, we'll always accept the governor's input. He fostered and encouraged us to continue along those lines. But it really wasn't until after the House failed to pass the budget, or the General Assembly did, that the governor began to weigh in. And we worked as closely. Originally, under the grand bargain, it was agreed that the Senate chamber, Republicans and Democrats, would craft a plan that they could support. My Senate colleagues needed property tax relief, business buy-in, and know that there was a long-term balanced budget.
Is it safe to say that there's still room for negotiation on some of these? If Democrats say, well, we could go along with this if you change this or that, I mean, is there still a possibility that the two sides can negotiate out something, or is this a, you know, take-it-or-leave-it type of proposition?
Absolutely, we can work things out. We're here to find a good long-term solution. This may be the way we see a path to that resolution. It's certainly not the only way. But as long as we believe we're giving property taxpayers parity, as long as we believe we're creating jobs, as long as we believe we're balancing the budget, then we're open to anything that meets those broad strokes. And if there's another way to get there, we're always going to be willing to listen. The state needs a real solution, a blueprint for the future, and that's what we're wanting. We just laid out what we felt was that blueprint based on the negotiations we've had in the past.
We're talking with the Republican Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington as lawmakers get ready to come back to Springfield to start a special session and try to work out a budget agreement. You ran for governor. You were the party's nominee. You've been around the state. You've been in the legislature a long time. You know what it takes to get things done at the Capitol. If you were governor, would you have handled some of these things differently?
Everyone would handle things differently. That doesn't mean that Governor Rauner's handled them wrong. He's dealt the cards that were dealt to him, which are different from the cards that would have been dealt to me when I ran for governor. I think the governor's done a wonderful job in holding firm to protect taxpayers and create jobs. That's what we elected him to do. He's doing a good job at standing up for taxpayers against the Chicago machine and protecting jobs. So I can't find flaw or fault in what the governor's done. Everyone does things a little bit differently, but he has been forthright, honest, and stood by what he was elected to do.
You think you could have worked better with Democrats than maybe he's been able to do so far?
I wouldn't necessarily say that even. This is a tough position. Tougher position when Governor Rauner took office than when presumably I would have taken office had I beat Pat Quinn. But I think he's tried to extend the olive branch. I think he's doing that now by accepting the compromises between Senate Democrats and Republicans to a large extent. And I think he's done a good job of standing for what he was elected to stand for, which I think is what Illinois needs.
As I mentioned, you've been in the legislature a long time, and I've seen you work out deals with Democrats and others who you might not agree with. That happens, of course, on numerous issues. Why is this budget, why is it such a difficult thing to get accomplished? Why has this been such a sticking point?
I'm very concerned about the intentions of the House Democrats. You know, last year we agreed that the stopgap would be passed and that we would then go through the election and we would be willing to work on the reforms. The House was unwilling to live up to that. Senate Democrats did, which is why we've come so close. I can only suspect that there are political reasons behind the House Democrats' unwillingness to come to the table. But having said that, we're going to do everything we can to provide a real solution, working closely with Senate Democrats and hopefully House Democrats. And I give the governor a great credit for what he's done since June 1st by working with us to craft a real compromise plan.
Like you said, the last year there was a stopgap budget that was approved, sort of a, you know, keep the lights on budget that helped the state through the last 6 months or the first 6 months of the fiscal year. Now we're seeming to be hearing people staking out positions saying, no more stopgap budgets. I've heard the governor say that. I've heard the Senate president say that. Do you buy into that? Would basically, would a stopgap, if nothing more comprehensive can be worked out, would a stopgap budget be that bad?
Well, I don't think it's a solution. It wasn't a solution last time. It wouldn't be a solution. The Constitution calls for us to pass a real budget. Unfortunately, under court-ordered spending, those budget deficits have accumulated a tremendous amount of backlog of unpaid bills. I'm not sure that feasibly just us appropriating without cuts, the budget that I've outlined cuts and saves over $5 billion. These are important things that need to be part of a solution. But just appropriating money doesn't solve our problems. There needs to be cuts in the budget so that the money goes to our highest priorities.
What are you hearing from your constituents? I imagine you hear people on various sides, those who want to see a budget passed for certain programs to be funded, and then there's those who are concerned about spending and other issues. What are some of the things that you hear?
Well, I think everyone wants a solution. Everyone realizes that given the state of affairs, no one's going to get 100% of what they want. And they're willing to see a compromise to move the state forward, to pay our bills, to live within our means. But they want those more conservative elements, like myself, want to see us rein in spending and cut spending and live within our means. Some of the others want to see additional revenues to fund more programs that we have revenues for now. But I think at the end of the day, everyone realizes with the Democratic control of the General Assembly, Republicans aren't going to get everything they need. But we need to make sure we get enough that it works for taxpayers.
Do you think there's pressure on lawmakers right now, yourself or others that you've talked to, who, because of what they're hearing from constituents, that they want to see something done sooner rather than later?
Absolutely. Everyone wants to see something done sooner rather than later. The risk, if the House Democrats continue to stonewall any progress and schools don't open, would be a terrible shame. But it would be a shame that we'd lay at their feet.
Well, the term trust, I know, has come up a lot as well. People concerned on both sides, they say they can't trust the other. You're concerned about the House Democrats, possibly, and what could be the end game when it comes to the positions they're staking out. It seems like it's just a toxic environment right now. So, it would make me think it's going to be hard to get an agreement, but I guess anything is possible.
Yeah, I believe certainly a solution is possible. It's unfortunately you do get closer you get to campaigns, the more toxic it gets. But I've talked to a lot of rank and file House Democrats and Senate Democrats, and they want a real solution. And eventually, I think there will be a willingness to work across the aisle to get that. We're just not there yet with House Democrats. We are there with House Senate Democrats, I believe, and we're going to continue to do what we can to get there, because this state needs a plan. It needs a solution.
I heard, I think it was Jim Edgar, who basically said that he thinks the state's in a worse position now, the budget impasse, than even what the state went through when it came to Rod Blagojevich and the corruption scandal. Would you put it in that type of term? Do you think things are, that the state damage is being done to that level right now?
Well, I think the damage that we're dealing with lays at the feet of both Blagojevich and Governor Quinn when the Democrats controlled the entire General Assembly. It was the failures to be realistic and quit kicking the can down the road but pass balanced budgets and do those types of things back then that have led to much of our problem. And now we're paying the price from it. But you can't continue to kick the can down the road. We're saying that there has to be a solution. The solution has to rein in government spending, reduce that level, and live within our means, but create jobs. So the job climate in this state has probably been one of the most detrimental problems that we've faced over the last 12 years, and that certainly needs to be laid at the feet of the Democratic control and Rod Blagojevich and Pat Quinn.
Do you think the governor is getting unfairly targeted a bit?
You know, it's interesting. I have never seen a time, typically you would be right, but I've never seen a time where more people come up to me and say, what are you going to do about Mike Madigan and the House Democrats? Mike Madigan is the one constant. They really do feel that and know that the Democrats control the General Assembly and the Governor Ron has been trying to make significant reform. Never seen a time where more blame has been laid at the hand of the Democratic-controlled General Assembly than what I'm hearing from constituents today.
Senator, before I let you run, the fact you're coming in on Wednesday, and I know that the Democrats will set the schedule to some extent of what takes place once you're in, but do you have any idea of what will happen, what might be the first step this week? Do you have any knowledge yet of how that's going to work?
I really don't. I'm just hopeful that everyone comes with a sincere interest in setting aside the partisan gamesmanship and rolling up our sleeves and focusing on taking the issues and the bills that we've laid on the table and resolving ourselves to make them work. We know that this isn't going to just be a slam dunk to put Democrat votes on to pass, but we're making a sincere effort. I think Senate Democrats would say that the package we introduced was a sincere effort based on our negotiations. I'm just hoping we can get that same cooperation and open-mindedness from the House Democrats.
That's Republican State Senator Bill Brady of Bloomington. Senator, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you.